You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church podcast. We hope that today's message edifies and encourages you to live transformed by Jesus, grow in your faith, and walk in your God dreams.
We're in a series. If you haven't been here, man, we're in a series. It's called, it's an investment series. This is part three. It's like sermon eight, but today we're continuing the part three, which is dividends of speech. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, get into God's word. Go ahead and tell them that. Get into God's word. Yeah. Be convicted. Say it a little harder this time. Say it like you're an angry parent. Come on. Give me that angry parent voice. Some of y'all had some bad parents. Don't do that. You got to start cussing. So look, last week we talked about the dividend in your words, and we talked about, man, your words have power. How many of you guys believe you got power in your tongue? Anyone in here? I do too. You got power in your word. So I want you to look to the person next to you. I want you to look at them again one more time. Come on, you're okay. Look at them. Don't look at me. Look at them and say something nice to them. Go ahead, encourage them real quick. Go ahead, say it. Go ahead. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look at someone. Say it to somebody. There you go. That was nice. You two, you guys are fighting back there. I see. You're not talking to each other. It's okay. It's all right. Good. And there's power in your tongue. We talked about your words really matter. And we talked about especially by your position, where you're positioned in life, where my parents at? Your words matter to your children. How many guys had a parent speak life into you when you were growing up? They really encourage you. How many guys had a parent who speak death into your life? Anyone ever had that before? I'm not raising my hand. Mom and dad have never messed up in their life. Please don't spank me. I'm just kidding. No, but legit, man, there's a position that you have, and there's power that goes along with that position. And we talked about last week, man, you don't just have a position in the physical things. It's not just your job. It's not just your marriage or in your home. But you have a position in Christ. You're a son and daughter of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Okay, good. You're a son and daughter. You hold a high position. Your words matter. So I want you to look at your brother or your sister. I want you to say, your words matter. Go ahead and tell them that. Your words matter. But today, and I love that we sang, I requested that song, He's All I Need. How many of you guys grew up in church? Who grew up in church? Now, who grew up in church, though? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, how many of you guys were ready to start running when that song came on? Yeah, some of y'all, I've never seen that in my life. Some of y'all thought we were going to bring out snakes or something when we started singing that song. I get it. Can we do it next week? Maybe. We'll do that. How about we do it at the end of service? I love that, yeah. But check this out, man. I love that song. I request that song because I'm a believer that God's word is something that we really need in this house. You and I need his word. In fact, at the end of this, we're going to get to the point where we're going to recognize he is all that we need in this house. And so I want to encourage you today about dividends and the word of God, that you need to be investing in the word of God. So I got my first point. We're going to jump right in it if I can. Since we're talking about investment, I got some investment terminology. But you and I, first thing we need to do is we need to cultivate the seed of the scripture. Cultivate, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down. Start cultivating the seed of the scripture. I'm going to tell you what that means by telling you a really sad story about my tomato plant. Now, how many of you guys have ever tried to grow something in here? Anyone ever try to grow something? Yeah, anyone? Okay, good for you guys. How many of you guys were successful? Raise your hand. Good for you guys. Good for you guys. Now, my mom, I grew up, she was always growing flowers. She was always growing tomatoes. She's got a blueberry bush that could produce so many blueberries, she could shut down the blueberry farms. It's just incredible what she could do. So one year, about 3 years ago, me and my wife decided, it was 2020, and everybody was doing it. So we thought, we should grow some tomatoes. So I went and we had some old pots in the backyard and I grabbed a tomato plant and I stuck that thing in the dirt. And I'm going to tell you right now, in my imagination, guys, let me tell you, when I got it, I was so excited. All I could think about was the success of these tomatoes. I was thinking, I'm going to have enough tomatoes for me and my family to eat tomatoes every single day. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, man, this thing is going to grow. I'm just seeing the potential of this tomato plant. And I didn't grab seeds. I grabbed it. It was already pre-grown. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what they even call that. What do they call that? Yeah, who cares, right? I just stick that in the dirt. And I was thinking, man, I'm going to have so many tomatoes. And I don't know if you do this. I'm a little bit of a dreamer, but I'm thinking to myself, there's going to be so many tomatoes, we're not going to be able to eat them all. I'm going to have to give them to the neighbors. And I'm thinking, maybe it'll go greater than that. Maybe I'm going to have to start selling these things, but I'm going to have to hire a team eventually. You know, I'm thinking, this thing's going to be massive, man. And I was looking at the potential of this tomato plant thing, and I've seen my mom, my wife's grandfather, he could grow tomatoes forever. And so I put those plants in there, and I was legit thinking, if we grow enough tomatoes in this plant, that might be all we need. You know, we could just add some lettuce. We could grow some lettuce, and we could have salads every day. We could be a healthy family. But let me tell you what actually happened. What really happened when I put that tomato plant in there is, for the most part, I forgot about it. It sat outside on my deck, and it was, you know, spring and going into summer, and you know, it's Georgia, it's hot. So I was cranking up the AC and I was chilling, and I would forget about it. And then when I did remember, sometimes I would go out there and water it. Sometimes I want it because I was sitting down, and that's kind of important to me, to sit down, even though my tomato plant was dying. And so I realized, like, man, that's not a good time to go out there. But sometimes I remember I'd go out and water it. But then eventually I would put it on other people to take care of my tomato plant. How many guys love being a parent? Anyone in here love being a parent? It's so cool. You can say, kids, you need to start watering that tomato plant. And so I did. And of course, my kids, they're my kids. They were basically doing the same thing I was doing. They're forgetting too. And so I started looking at my wife going, Susie, we're not going to have tomatoes. We got to start watering this thing. So I was telling Susie, hey, honey, will you start watering this tomato plant? And when I would go out and water, this is what would happen. And this is not a joke. And that was some exaggeration, but literally the ground was so, you know, when you buy soil, it like crumbles in your hand. This soil became like a solid piece. It was like, I think that's how rocks are formed, is that people don't water the tomato plants. And it was just this thing. And I was like touching things. Oh man. So what I would do is I'd take as much water as I could. And I would just soak that thing. I would just sit out there and just overwater it. And then there'd be dead leaves. So I just figured maybe I'll just put some water on the dead leaves. I think that's how these things work. And I'll just do whatever I could. And in the end, after everything happened, I came out with one tomato that year. Why, thank you. Everyone's like, oh, that's more impressive than I thought. One tomato. And I seriously thought to myself, I don't think we've gotten a tomato plant since. I don't know where my wife went. She was embarrassed with that story. But I don't know if we've actually bought tomatoes since. We've bought tomatoes. I don't think we've grown tomatoes since. And I say that because what I didn't know I was supposed to do with that tomato plant was I was supposed to cultivate it. I was supposed to spend time. I was supposed to watch it. I was supposed to get in my hands and knees. And if there was bugs or anything inside there, I was supposed to scoop them out. I was supposed to make sure that the soil was taken care of, cultivating it, making an environment for that thing to grow. I didn't realize that when I was looking at these dead leaves that were coming off, and these branches that were coming off, that I was supposed to cut them. I did not know that. I mean, I've heard about pruning, but because I did not know any, and I had the internet the whole time. Isn't that so sad? I didn't even look it up. But I didn't know that, oh, you're supposed to break those branches off, because if you don't, it'll end up hindering the rest of the fruit branch or the fruit thing, whatever those things are, vines. I don't know what they are. And so I wasn't breaking them off. And I didn't do a good job for my tomato plant to cultivate an environment for it to take life. Now, I use that story as an antidote for you and I about the Word of God. You and I have a job. We're supposed to cultivate the Word of God in our life. And when I say that, if I can, I want to start real simple. I'm talking about just reading it, taking the time day in and day out just to get into it. To say, man, I want to cultivate this word. The scriptures in Isaiah says the word of God is a seed that always bears fruit. And you and I are supposed to be people who are cultivating the word of God in our life. Say, you know what? Every day, I'm going to spend some time in here. I want to pay attention to this thing. Every day, I want to get in this thing and I want to read it and memorize it. Because a lot of us do what I was doing with that tomato plant. We only go to it when our dry seasons are really hitting us. We only go to it and cultivate it when we start seeing things in our life aren't working out. We get this Bible out here. We just kind of forget about it. You know, this thing just sits in our house. Or we do this other thing where we go to church and we ask someone else to read it to us. And say, will you take care of the seed of my life called the Word? And I'll be honest with you, I could do the same thing, man. I love, how many of you guys like listening to people online? Anyone like listening to podcasts or anything like that? I do too, man. I love it, but what I'm trying to get to you guys real quick, and I'm gonna get to scriptures here in a second, but I wanna start with this thing. You and I, if we're gonna be people who invest in life-changing things, you and I gotta invest in the Word of God. We gotta invest and cultivate this thing. Not just read it sporadically, though, that's okay, that's better than nothing. We should be people who really care for the life inside of us, saying, God, I want this to be alive in me. I want your word, God. I don't know if you've noticed this, but every Christian relies on one thing. It's the Bible. And anytime you hear people who don't have the Bible in their life, and they're talking about the God things or things of God, you'll start noticing, going, man, you sound a little bit off. Because if you don't know this, this is the crux of our belief system. It's all written down, his word. And you and I need to start investing in cultivating it. Cultivating, the first thing you're supposed to do when you got plants is spend appropriate time with them. Did you know you're supposed to be spending time in your word? I'm going to tell you right now, I am so guilty of this. And you could shame me like that, okay? You could shame me. But I hate reading. Anyone else in here hate reading? Man, okay, a few of us. I said this last time. I asked guys who likes reading. I felt embarrassed that it was so many people and I'm the outcast. Who likes reading? Let me see those hands. Yeah, say, look at that. Look at that, smart people, whatever, okay? Dumb people will rise. We will take over one day. No, man, I love that you guys love that, man. But for me, I'm always thinking, like, I want to go and do something else. So when it comes to spending time in this, I'm thinking, oh, I mean, reading's cool and all, but I just want to get through it. I just want to go out there and spray real quick the tomato plant, real fast. I don't want to examine my life. I don't want to apply this to my life sometimes. Sometimes I'm just struggling. But can I just tell you a little secret? Since I made this a personal investment in my life, and I said, I'm going to cultivate this. I'm going to set time aside every single day. When I first wake up in the morning, it doesn't matter what's going on in the house. The very first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to read your word, God. I'm not going to drink my coffee. I'm not going to eat breakfast. Since I've made that investment, can I tell you what's happened? I've seen fruit grow in my life. I've seen things happen in my life I didn't think were possible. But not just that, man. I've seen direction in my life. You and I need to make an investment of cultivating time with the Bible. But here's the thing about cultivating. It's not just spending time. It's digging around in it. When's the last time you got in your word and you just started digging? What does that mean? When's the last time you set 10, 15 minutes? I'm not even telling you to do hours. I'm not even telling you to be a theologian. When's the last time you took 15 minutes just looking into the scripture? When's the last time you got like David, where you took the word of God and you meditated on it in the middle of the night on your bed? Instead of thinking about what you're doing tomorrow, or recapping, or trying to get a dream to happen, you know, I wish I had $1 million trying to make that dream happen. You sat there and said, God, this is what your word said. This is what I read today. I'm going to meditate on it. You and I are called to cultivate. And there's this thing, though, about the scriptures, about cultivating. I want you to go, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of James, chapter 1. Because when you spend time in the Bible and his word and you study, and it's not just moments, it's not just events like I was with my tomato plant, but you are consistent in it. There's a scripture that hits something else that you need to hear. And this is my second investment that you got to get into. But James 1, verse 19 through 25. Says this, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Time out. James points something out. How many guys need to be a better listener? Anyone in here need to be a better listener? Me too. How many guys just need to shut up more? Anyone in here need to shut up more? Me too, man. I do too. James says, man, I want you to be that person, quick to hear, slow to speak. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He says this, he says, man, I want you to lay aside all your sin, all the things that you came into this world with, everything you were born into. He says, lay it aside. He says, put it to the side and let the word that's implanted in you save your life. But, he says, a big but right here, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in that what he does. My second investment is not that you just cultivate the word of God in your life, but you also make some trust deposits. How many guys have read the Bible and thought, man, that's wild. Anyone ever read that before? Man, those scriptures I've read and going, this is crazy. How many guys have ever read the Old Testament? Anyone in here read the Old Testament? Yeah, man, I remember when I was first reading the Old Testament, I was looking into it. I used to always think, man, this is barbaric. You guys ever think that before? Yeah? But then, honest truth, this is kind of a side topic. But I was thinking that for a long time until I realized that it's about the government of Israel. And then I started looking at our government and I thought, well, maybe it's not so barbaric after all. Maybe we haven't really changed that much. Anyways, I've read this thing and there's some things God says in there, man. He says, you know, like, hey, you need to trust me. This is what would be called faith. Make it a trust deposit is faith, because this is what faith is. Faith is believing it and acting upon it because you believe it so much. That's faith. And he says, man, I don't want you just to know the word. I don't want you just to cultivate the word in your life. I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to obey this thing. One of my favorite sermons I've ever had my dad do, Pastor Paul, he was going through the Bible and it was basically on the same part of the topic, where he said, he's going through the Bible and he's talking about how much he loved it, but then he'd read a scripture, thou shalt not commit adultery with your eyes. You go, well, I don't really like that. So he ripped the page out of the Bible. Everyone in the church was like, oh my gosh, you know, waiting for lightning to strike. And then he went on and he went through sin after sin. Well, thou shalt not lie. Well, I kind of like lying. So he ripped that out. And what he would do is he was just showing that when we like what God has, sort of, but man, when we really have to trust this thing, it gets really difficult. Can I tell you the end of that sermon? He took the Bible and he's like, I guess I don't need any of it. And he threw it and nailed a lady in the head. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. It was her first time there. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? It's a killer arm, dude. That's crazy. Mike came to church and came to get a bike and found Jesus. She came to find Jesus and found herself in the hospital with a concussion. Man, that's incredible. No, man, it's true. Not only are we supposed to invest and cultivate the seed of the gospel, the scriptures in our life, spending time, applying it, using it to cut things out of our life and prune us. We're supposed to be doers of the word. Doers of the word. You know what that means? That you don't just know it, but you walk it out. Even the hard things. Because it's easy to walk out the God will fulfill every desire if you delight in him. Well, that's easy. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll definitely do that. It's easy to say and stand on, man, I really trust if I follow him, he'll give me joy. But man, do you trust the scriptures where he says, don't even worry about your finances? Do you trust that? Do you really, can you really put that deposit of trust into the scriptures and say, you know what, God, I believe that life is eternal if I follow you. And though this body may die, I will never die. You know what happens when you trust that? You live like a crazy person. Death has no sting anymore. There's no more fear of closing your eyes. But it has to be a person who says, I'm going to make the investment today to really believe this word. My wife and I have been studying about how we should act as believers to one another. And I don't know if you know this, but the church is not just called to have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's about having a corporate relationship with the Lord. All through scriptures, it talks about, man, you're supposed to love one another. This is how you fulfill the law of Christ, is one another loving each other. So we've been looking at the scriptures and there's some things in there, man, I don't want to really trust. For instance, correcting your brother and sister who is in sin. Have you ever had to do that? One of us, my wife said, yeah, the rest of us, I know. Man, I didn't trust that. Can I just be honest with you? For the longest time, I see my brothers and sisters in sin. And instead of trusting what the word of God told me to do, I just trusted that time would take care of it. You guys ever been there before? You're watching people in sin and you're watching them slowly go away from the Lord and you're just kind of there trying to be encouraging. You know, we talked about encouragement last week. It's truth telling, not just saying nice things, but you may not have known that at the time. So you're just telling them nice things like, well, you're still a good person. You're fine. Oh yeah, you could go ahead and cuss God out. Hey, listen, you can go for it. I'm just not gonna give you that advice. And here we go. We let people go away and we don't trust the word of God. It says, man, you could save them if you call them out on it. You could save them from the, it says in Jude, from the fire. When's the last time you not just cultivated the word of God, but you took it and said, okay, I'm going to trust that. I'm going to trust that you are going to take care of me, Father. I'm not going to worry about my clothes or what I'm going to eat anymore. I'm just going to do what you call me to do. I believe that you're going to provide it for me. When was the last time you trusted the word of God and said, man, if it says it, then I believe it. If God says it, then I won't doubt it. You see, you and I are called to make these two investments. Cultivate the seed of scriptures and deposit trust. And the reason why I want you to do this is because I have a return on an investment list that is for a home run. Man, this thing's going out of the park. And I don't know about you, but how many of you guys want good things in your life? Anyone in here want good things in your life? I want good things in my life. And I'm going to be honest with you. God tells us these things because he wants you to see that the investment is worthwhile. Because I'm going to tell you right off the bat, investing and cultivating the seed of the gospel in your life comes with a cost. It takes discipline. Have you guys ever been bored reading the Bible? Honest truth. Have you guys ever read the Bible to go to sleep? You've ever done that? It is better than melatonin, dude. It is incredible. It is. Try it. Why don't you just start reading? I don't know if it's like spiritual, the peace of God, or we're just that wicked. I don't know which one it is, but it works. Man, I've been bored. I didn't want to spend time in it. But to trust in the Bible, to trust in his word, man, that makes you an outcast. That makes you someone that people don't want to be around. People, you trust in the word of God. It doesn't matter how loving and kind you are. I promise you, you're going to get called a bigot, dude. Have you read this thing? Oh, you're going to get called some foul things by the world's going to hate you. Let me make that clear. The world's going to hate you if you trust this thing and you tell people to trust in it. The world's going to look at you and say, man, you're a fool. It says that in scriptures that if we live this thing out, we really believe it, the world will say, look at those foolish people wasting their life talking about a righteousness. Because the world's going, there is no such thing as righteousness. Morality is your desires. But the Bible says, no, there's a standard that I hold. And the reason why I want to tell you about that cost is because I want to tell you about the return on the investment. It's not a small thing. I can sit here and be light and say, spend more time in your Bible and trust it. But I don't want to miss on something. I don't want to be the drop shipping guys on YouTube who just tell you about all the benefits. I want to tell you about the cost real quick. Yeah, you guys know who the drop shipping guys are. So yeah. If you don't know who the drop shipping guys are, you're not on YouTube, which is good for you. But I want to sell you this thing. I want to show you the cost. Scripture says, man, before you do something, you should equate and see how much it's going to cost you. He said you'd be a fool. Another word for fool is an idiot. You'd be an idiot to look at this and not count the cost of the Bible. Now listen, I'm going to make everyone in here a little uncomfortable. Everyone in here, if I haven't already, I'm going to make you uncomfortable. Because I don't want to just make you happy. I want you to have a life of righteousness and life fulfilled. And that means that we're going to have to look at this thing and really dive in and not let someone else do it for us, but us really dive into this thing. And when I talk about the cost, Jesus says it's going to cost you everything. Every New Testament book of the Bible refers to us being persecuted by the world if you believe this thing. Every New Testament book of the Bible. When's the last time you heard that? Most of us only hear the return on investment. Well, let me tell you the cost. You won't like what it tells you to do. But if you get it, if you grab onto it, can I tell you what the return is? Can I tell you what the return is? If you start cultivating this in your life and finding out and then saying, okay, I'm going to believe this thing. I'm going to follow it. I will love those who hate me. I will turn the other cheek. I will correct those in the church. I want to make that clear. In the church, I will correct those in the church about their sin so that they may walk away from it. So not that they might be belittled, but come to them with gentleness that they might be restored. I will be that person. You know what happens when you do this? Number one. I didn't highlight it. There we go. Number one, if you grab a hold of this thing and you make the investment, your return is you'll have direction in life. Psalms 119. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know why I quote that scripture? I love that scripture. He says, God, your word doesn't just show me what each and every step should do. You also show me what direction I need to go in. So many of us aren't invested in the word. Maybe not in this room, but once you talk in the world, so many people aren't invested in the word, and the culture and the world is telling you how to make your steps and what direction you should go in. You're so swayed by people who are walking in darkness and they're saying, well, this is a wide path. Let's take this direction. And you go, oh, that makes sense. But when you have the Word of God and you invest in it, it says it's a light to your feet. That means every step you can see the traps in life. Every step you can see what leads to death. But then it says a light unto my path, saying it will even show you what way you should go. How many of you guys would like some more clear direction? You get it from being in the Word of God. Oh, this is how I'm supposed to live. This is how I'm supposed to stand. Man, I know so many people, and it's on both sides of the marketplace, who know the Word of God, but they've been having other people water it in their life. They haven't been in their own home studying the Word and spending time and cultivating it and really getting to the place of trust. They've just been letting the pastor speak over them. And what's happened is they've walked away, and the culture will sway them in any way. And guys, let's pick any hot topic you want. I mean, any of them. You could pick any topic in the world. You could go from something as simple as welfare or to something as complex as abortion. You could go to transgenderism. You could go to homosexuality. You could go into what the school system teaching. So many of us don't know anything about the Word of God. So we just go, well, that sounds good. And we're swayed into this path that's wide. And the whole world's going, yeah, this is the way. And you go, well, I can't argue that, because I don't know what God says. So since I don't know what he says, I'll just believe you. Me too. It's not them out there. It's me. You got to be someone, when you invest in the Word, it gives you insight to your day-to-day and where you look out to and go, this is the path that I'll take. It's small. It's narrow. Not a lot of people are going to go with me on this path, but this is the path that leads to everlasting life. I can see it in his Word, so I'm going to take it. That's the return on investment, but that's not all. It keeps you near him. It equips you. Man, how many of you guys sometimes feel like you're unprepared? Anyone in here? And I'm not talking about for work. I'm talking about walking in this thing out as a Christian. It says this in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. That means your theology on life. For reproof, that means for and for correction, so that you can prove yourself and be corrected. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Man, the return on investment when you believe this thing isn't just that you could see better. While everyone else is in darkness, you could see the light. But man, you invest in this thing, you could cultivate that seed, you spend time in it, you trust it. It says, man, you're fully equipped for every good work in life. You can walk this thing going in full confidence. I know how I'm supposed to behave in this situation. I know how I'm supposed to walk. I got the book. I got the instruction manual. I've cultivated this thing. I trust this thing. That's not the only return on investment. Your Word I've hidden in my heart, Psalm 119:11. Your Word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This thing, when you put your investment in it, it teaches you how to stand before God. I got to talk about this for a second. Listen, I don't want to knock anybody, okay? I don't, and what I mean by that is I think there's a pure heart. There's people out there who are pretty casual about how they stand before the Lord, and I get it. I am too sometimes. Sometimes I go to my prayer, and I'm just like, what's up, God? I don't say, what's up, God? I got past that stage. But, you know, like, listen, there's only one person I've ever met who could call God daddy. One person, okay? And that's because I knew she was a legit Christian. But I've heard a lot of people say daddy God, and it gives you the, ooh, you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, a few of you. God, I don't want to diss it. That's good for them. That's awesome. But when I read this Word, and we've talked about this in another sermon about the contrast of God. You see the God of wrath and the God of peace, right? You see this whole picture. When you see the whole picture of God, the Word of God teaches you, man, how to stand before him. God, wait a minute. You're not just my Savior. You're the God who's coming in wrath. I'm fearful of you. I'm in love with you. I'm thankful and I praise you because of your grace and mercy in my life. You're my redemption, but man, I don't want to cross you. I gotta put some respect on your name. I gotta put some respect in my mouth when I talk to you. I love the scriptures, man, because here's what he's saying. He's saying, I hide your Word in my heart, which means it's from the center of me. I sit and I meditate on this thing day and night. You know what he's saying? He says, it keeps me from sinning. You know what he's saying? It keeps me from screwing up around you. It keeps me from being misbehaving when I'm in your presence, and I'm always in your presence. Some of us don't know how to sit in God's presence. We don't know what he's supposed to be like because we let someone else water us, and we weren't sitting there cultivating our own life. But there's more. Not only does it teach you how to stand before the Lord. I thought you erased everything. It feeds you. Jesus answered because they thought he already ate some food. And they said, where did you get food? And he said, it's written. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is to the devil. This is a different time. The devil says, hey, man, turn these rocks into bread. I know you're hungry. You've been fasting for 40 days. And Jesus replies to him and says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's talking about a different kind of hunger being met. Have you ever been at home and you've just been lacking? You just feel like there's something missing in your life? I call that spiritual hunger. There's so many people dealing with it. They're going, man, there's a void. I feel like I'm doing everything right. I got a nice house. Everything is going good. But I got this void in my life. Something's missing. Something's empty. Yeah, your spiritual stomach is. The word of God is missing. If you could get this thing inside of you, man, you find fulfillment. Jesus says, man, we're not supposed to live off of bread alone. What he's saying is, it's not just about eating, guys. It's about the word of God. This is a purpose. This is how you have life. But there's one more ROI, if I could give it to you. It comforts you. It comforts you. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but when you read the word of God and it says, man, I care for you more than the birds. Remember we talked about that? You're better than the birds. How many guys looked at a bird and said, I'm better than you? Do you want to try that? Yeah, the birds don't like it. Don't do it. No, but man, you're better than the birds. He says, you're better than the lilies. He says, look at how I've clothed them. Look how I feed them. He says, look at the birds. They don't have storehouses. I take care of them every day. I mean, you read this word and you're comforted. You read this word and it says, man, I will have vengeance for you. You don't need to get your back. You don't have to stand up for yourself. And in fact, actually, when people come against you and they persecute you, turn the other cheek. When your enemy asks for help, give them the help. Give them more, actually. He says, I will comfort you. I will be the one. He's the one who says, I will carry you. He says, I'll lift you up like wings of an eagle. When you invest in the word, you not only do you have direction, not only do you know how to walk, not only are you equipped, when you invest in the word of God, not only do you see that you have the void filled in your heart, but you're comforted. I kind of came hard on this because one of the things I learned, and this is where I want to land. This is where I'm ending. So if you're thinking, man, I don't want to be in this anymore, you're about to get out. One of the things I've learned, though, is what we talked about last week. Your words have power based on your position. They have power no matter what, but based on your position, there's real power. And one of the things that I didn't talk about yet is his words have power because of his position. This Bible has authority because of God's authority. And so when you and I make an investment in this thing and we say, God, I want change. I've been struggling. Listen, I want to make this really, really clear because I don't think people actually understand this. When I was born, I was not born as a good guy. That's going to hurt some people's feelings. I don't want to get into the theology of babies going to heaven or hell. I'm not getting into that. What I want to talk about is that I was born not right, 100%. Actually, when I say not right, I mean by the standard of the book, by his word. And so I grow up and like many people, I'm dealing with sexual immorality. By the way, science backs it pretty good. That every man has an internal desire. This might sound crude, but hang in there. To impregnate as many women as possible. That's what science says. That's all scientific. That's very confirmed. That there's a desire, an innate desire in every man. But here's the deal. The scripture says, don't do that. Scripture says, no. When you marry, don't even look at a woman with lust in your eyes. You know why that's a big deal? Because whether or not I see his position, that word has power in my life. If I think he's the God of all creation, then when he says that, I go, well, then I need to repent, man. I need to get myself right because I'm born wrong. That's why there's a new birth. And I'm preaching on some deep theology, so hang in there for a second. But this word only has the power in your life if you're willing to believe in his position. Is he all that you need? Is he the God of all creation in your life? Is he the one who has authority on heaven and earth? Is he the one who stands in the position who could speak light and darkness? Is he the one who sits on the judgment seat? Because if he's that one, this word could yield such great power in your life that your entire life will be transformed. And it doesn't matter if you're born like me, a full adulterer from the start, or if you were born pretty good, as you might think you were. This word can transform you. But it won't until you start investing in it. It won't until you say, God, this is the position you hold, and I'm going to cultivate this seed of the word of God in my life. God, I'm gonna sit in the Bible day in and day out. I'm not gonna put it off to the side. It's not gonna collect dust. It's not gonna be like that tomato plant sitting out on the hot deck by itself. I'm comfortable. No, I will get uncomfortable to get into this thing. Because I gotta know if you said it, if you really are in that position on the throne, if you really are the God of all creation, then this word needs to be something that I'm cultivating in my life. If that's really your position, then your word needs to be something that I trust today. Because here's the deal. It's easy to walk into a church, sing some songs, stand there or dance. It's easy to go to church and hear a sermon, and I could do this for you. I could tell you you're good, and I could give some key advice in life through the scriptures to talk about how life is better if you do this. Or I could plead with you as if we're coming to an end, saying this right here. Oh man, I gotta tell you this. China, they go under Communist Party, right? And they take over. And there was an interview with all the pastors. They had these big churches, they're thriving. And they said, what do you wish you taught the church before the Communist Party took over and shut down all the churches? You know what they said? They didn't say, I wish we had better sermons. They didn't say, I wish we had better services or more groups. They said, I wish we taught people to love his word. Because when they got kicked out of the church, there was no one else there to water that tomato plant for them. All they were left with was with a Bible hidden in their closet. In Nazi Germany, when they're coming down and the Christians were being persecuted too, as they were trying to save the Jews, they would take the scriptures and they go, no, you can't use this anymore. And they said, man, I wish we taught the church to love the word, to sit on it, to cultivate it in their life. Because we've said this from the beginning of this church. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian who partly goes into the Lord and stands before him on the judgment day and he says, man, I don't know you. You're the guy who made me sick with that walk. I want to be the guy who gets up there and the Lord says, dude, you're on fire. You believe this thing. You cultivated it. You let it direct every step. You didn't let the culture or the pressure of the world. You said, no, this is my light. I can see you with it. You let it become the thing that comforted you in the middle of the night when you're in the trials and tribulations. And you said, my God is still with me. And though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, he is with me and I shall not fear. I want to be the one who grabs a hold of this thing. It says, when I was hungry in the middle of the night, I sat on your word. I want to be the one who says, I meditate on this thing and I know how to stand before you. I will not sin before you. Church, I hope I made the plea well enough. I'm out of time. Invest in his word. Pick it up today. When you go home, take 10 minutes and just read just a little bit. Just start investing. I can't imagine if I really took care of that tomato plant. I can't imagine if I really actually took care of it and bought more tomato plants. You know, maybe I wouldn't use this antidote and really stretch it out, got involved in some Bible studies. What would have really happened if I really poured in and didn't just read the word, but I listened to it instead of listening to the music on the way? I want to listen to the word. I bet what would have happened if I took care of my tomato plants that way. Bought some more, tilled the ground in my yard. Tomatoes would probably be all I needed. I would have been happy. It would have provided everything else for me. I would have ended up calling that sales team to come and take over and start selling it to the nations. When you get into the word of God, you're gonna find a little secret. Man, he's all I need. I've been looking to and fro. I've been swayed by the world, but I found out he is all I need. Why don't we stand to our feet so we could pray? And I know I talk fast. And I got Spanish speakers in this room, and I want you to know we bought translation kits. We're going to get you hooked up. You probably don't know what I'm saying that, but will someone translate that to them? That'd be great. And for those who are learning English, I speak very fast. I want to apologize. I get hyped up. And for my English speakers, you probably don't understand some of the things I say because I speak so fast, but hang in there. Why don't we close our eyes for a second? Hey, listen. This isn't going to be an altar call. Now we're at the end of the service. I'm going to go back into that song. He's all that we need, because the real truth is, my plea today, my conviction, my pull in my heart today for you guys was to really press, get the word. But some of us in here, honest truth, wanted to get into word. You first got that Bible like my tomato plant. You were excited. You imagined the life change it could be. But you've neglected it a little bit. And it wasn't on purpose. You're just doing other things. And you figured, well, as long as I'm in church, I get the word. As long as I, you know, sing these songs, I'll be fine. But you just found yourself in life not living that radical, exciting Christian life you thought you would when you first got that Bible. And you're here today and you're going, man, that sermon was for me. I'm not really cultivating the word in my life. I'm letting the world dictate how my family moves. I'm letting the world dictate what is righteous and what is wicked in my life. I'm dismissing things. I won't really look into it. I just find someone else to look into it for me. And today you're going, man, I want some help today. I want to have a heart for the word of God. And today, if you want me to pray that you'd have a change in your life, that you would desire to read the word of God. It wouldn't be this big duty. You'd go, man, I want to see the dividends of this thing. I want to see a return in my life. And I want to be excited about the word of God. If you're in this house, you want that prayer, I want you to put your hand up real high. I want to pray for you. Come on, keep that hand up. Keep those hands up. That's a lot of hands. Father, you see these hands. These guys are not raising hands for me. They're not raising hands for their neighbor. They're raising hands saying, here I am, Lord. Like Isaiah in Isaiah 6, here I am. Lord, I pray right now over every one of these hands that, God, there would be a desire in their heart to know the word of God. That, Father, there would be a desire in their heart, Jesus, to cultivate, to have, oh, it's almost like a relationship with you, knowing what you've said. Oh, God, that they would be driven by this thing. That, Father, they'd make deposits of trust into it, saying, you know what, I'm going to trust this word. I don't think it's going to work out, but if you said it, God, I'm going to trust it. And that each one of these hands that are risen, that, Father, they would live that radical life, full of light, knowing which way to go. May they be people so full of light that they plead with those in the darkness, come this way. Father, I pray, Jesus, that the void in their life would be filled as their scriptures feeds them. Father, I pray that their word would teach them how to stand. It would comfort them. And that their desire for your word would grow. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to share it with your friends and family that they might also be encouraged. We are so excited that you chose to grow in God's word with us today, and we hope that you'll make plans to join us again. We believe that you were not made to walk this life alone. So if you can, come see us at the Atlanta Dream Center Church, Sundays 10 a.m. and Wednesdays 7 p.m. If you'd like to support this ministry, find out more about who we are, or listen to previous sermons, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com for more information. Thank you for listening. Now let's go do the great things God has called us to do.